it's loud when you stop the lie. We cry, we rise, and testify. Life unfiltered, scars and all. Break that cycle, tear down the wall. Accountable, raw, full of light. We healing out loud, and we doing it right.
You've been quiet too long, now speak on it. Carry shame too deep, now lean on it. Trauma ain't pretty, but the truth's divine. We bleed, we breathe, we draw the line. No more secrets, no more fear. Say it with your chest, make it clear. Integrity, transparency is how we move. Accountability, stay in the groove.
Wrong sound effect, but here we go. Here we go.
Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Help the auntie, Lord. Help the auntie. I was saying that I forgot that you had did that. So when it started, I was like surprised, like, what is this? Because I was just ready to, you know, for the normal thing. And then I remembered, I said, oh man, I can't wait to learn these words.
Yes, indeed. I'm finding myself now having to fine tune the entry point of where the song comes in, but also the exit point of where it fades and the whole song of it. And it doesn't necessarily need to be that particular part, but I wanted to at least have something so that you could be like, oh shit, yeah. So we upgrading, we changing some things up around here. We healing that shit around here, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I definitely was like, oh man, I got to get the lyrics and make sure I know, because you had your mic over there ready. I said, well, let me light the thing and at least show up to the party. I wasn't prepared,
but
I got this. I got me some Palo Santo to get in line, okay? Yes. No, that was really dope. Yes, are you going to tell the people like how you came up with that and all that? Are we talking about that? Or
we sure can. Let's run through the intro and then we can talk about it.
Cool beans. So what up, y'all? Welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit, where we talk about everything we learned in 2024. And we are amplifying that for this new year of transformation, which also, y'all, July is done. What is happening here? Okay, the year is almost finished, but we still here. All right, we're still chugging away. All right, this is not just a podcast anymore. This is a revolution in healing. Whether you are a longtime listener and been hanging out with us since day one, gang, 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 or if this is your very first episode, either way, we want you to get ready for some life-changing conversations.
Yes, indeed, because we've learned something powerful over the past year. When we share our truth, we give permission for others to do the same. We've created this space for the truth seekers, the change agents, and anyone ready to do the work. Because let's be honest, real change happens when we stop hiding and start healing.
So whether you are here to work through your own journey or learn from ours, you are in the right place. We're about to get real, get deep, and most importantly, get some results.
So buckle up, strap in, grab your favorite drink, and let's heal that shit together.
So my name is Kimberland Jackson. I am an educational advocate, activist, and consultant, a visionary and motivational speaker, a virtual producer, network executive. I am also a scientist, and I've been on that. That's what we talked about on the Frolicking Truth this morning, is the fact that I'm a real scientist. And I need us to put some respect on that, because your girl has done research, okay? So I just need us to know. But anyway, so I am a scientist. I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach. I am the founder of Discover Your Destiny, where IMLC lives. And that's where I help people deepen their relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm also a professional frolicker and an expat who lives in Medellin, Colombia in South America. And I'm also one of your hosts. What up?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Well, my name is Bianca Goolsby, and I'm a digital strategist, a consultant, an education advocate, activist, and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. I'm an investigator and a receipt collector, so I'm asking you to please put some respect on my name, okay? I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and we heal. I'm also an intuitive melanated life coach and a digital nomad traveling and working wherever there's Wi-Fi, and currently my feet are planted in Lima, Peru. My purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment fearlessly, baby, fearlessly. So come on in the room, because in here in this space, we operate by the three keys. That's accountability, transparency, and integrity. Before we go further, we want to make sure that we're clear about expectations, what you can expect from us and what we can expect from you. Mm-hmm. What you can expect from us to honor the three keys. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep it real, and we're going to speak freely, and we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So this disclaimer is, if you have little listeners, you might want to have some headphones, some AirPods, maybe not. That's your business. But we're going to speak freely in this space. And what we can expect from you: hate speech, hate comments, not over here. We proudly serve in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. Amen. So we want you to engage with intention or be escorted to the Block pew. We want you to go on this journey with us. We are not the experts, but we are facilitating these conversations. And we want you to participate in this journey and bring people with you, because together we're committed to doing the work to heal. So what updates you got? Because there's a lot of stuff that's going on around here.
So first, want to make sure that y'all know how to interact with us in these virtual communities. So the first thing we want to go over are our emojis. So if you are listening, I'm going to describe those for you. If you are watching, you'll see them there on the screen. But our emoji collectively is the heart with the bandage wrapped around it. This is a space of healing, and we want that to be known, right? So we're all healing something in various ways. So that is the emoji that brings us all together. And then we have individual emojis. So my emojis are the sunflower and the corn. So the sunflower, yellow is my favorite color. It brings me joy. It reminds me of the sun. It reminds me to keep going. It reminds me of the light. And sunflowers are the symbol for invisible disabilities. And as someone who is neurodivergent and understanding what that means more and more every single day, I have become a real activist for those of us who live with conditions that may not be able to be seen on the outside. Then the crayon is my emoji, because there was a time in my life where everything was very black and white and gray. And I made a conscious decision to color the fuck out of my life. So insert the crayon. So I'm over here coloring things in, coloring in the lines, and making sure that I am living life to the fullest every single day and finding joy at a spirit level. So tell them about yours.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Come on, girl. Well, my emoji is the teddy bear and the hands that form the heart. All right. It's teddy bear season. I'm in my teddy bear snuggie minding my own business, because that is what I'm here to do. And teddy bear season, let me tell y'all something about it. It feels so good to be loved out loud. Love is the highest frequency, and it's just so great to be in this position. And the hands that form the heart is with my journey with my heart and having heart failure and having a pacemaker and still dealing with the ebbs and flows of that. I'm always going to uplift that life is short. Life is precious. Time is of the essence, and love is the highest frequency. And I will continue to uplift that. And so those are my emojis, the teddy bear and the hands that form the heart.
Very nice. Uh-huh. When you all see us out here in these internet streets, please do use those emojis to let us know that you are a part of the community, okay? That's how we know that you're someone who has taken the time out to really listen and invest in our journey and really support us as we're doing this healing work. Want to again uplift that we are available on YouTube, so you're able to see all of these episodes and all the bells and whistles and things that we have have going on the visual side. So if you go to Heal That Shit on YouTube, you'll be able to find that. And then if you're watching and you're like, I would love to be able to listen to this on the go, feel free to join us on every podcast platform. We are there. People are listening. In those spaces, make sure that you like, comment, leave feedback, upvote it, like all the different ways that you show that you like the things. Do that, okay? Because that helps us to get traction. That helps the algorithm serve us to people who are actively looking for this type of content. We know y'all out there. We just trying to find you, all right? And then also connect with us at WeHealThatShit.com. There you're able to get on our mailing list and see some of the resources that we have been compiling for you, such as book lists and suggestions and things of that nature. All right. All right. I think that's it. That's all. So let's go ahead and move into our spirit check. And I'm showing this on the screen, but I'm also going to describe it for those of you, again, who may be listening. So we do this every week because we think that it's really important for us to honor the energy that we bring into a space, not really to judge it, just to honor what is going on and where we are and what that looks like and sounds like. So we invite you to do this along with us and take a moment to honor your own spirit as we are here. So these are the categories. Green, I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So if you're watching right now during the live, or if you're watching this on the replay, tell us in the comments what this is looking like for you, what your spirit is looking like and feeling like in any combination. So we are going to model what that might look like and sound like and how we use this. I feel like I started first last time, but I don't know if that's true. Is there documentation in our run of show that says that?
So I was like, oh, darn, I forgot to notate. And I was very explicit last episode that we will not have to revisit this. But I do recall you doing spirit check first, and then I flopped and did transparency moment first. So okay. I do think that it's your turn to do spirit check first, and then I would do transparency first.
Okay, so then my spirit is feeling, let's see where I am today. I would say I am good. I don't have any complaints. I feel like that is the majority of my heart is blue. And I don't necessarily feel, I'm trying to figure out where, because it's the other things that are in my spirit, if you will, it's not really that anything could necessarily be better. It's just, there's a lot that's going on. So I'm kind of managing the all of the lots of things that are going on, but it's not really that it's causing me to be shifted out of that good space. So I feel like I'm a solid blue. I'm good. I don't have any complaints. And I definitely actually would say that around the outside of that would be a green border, that life is great. I do see things shifting right now. So that gives me a sense of just keep going in the right direction, like you're on the right track. So I feel like that's kind of around the border, like everything is great. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing, but it's a solid blue in the middle. I'm good. I'm content. I am at peace. Things are aligning, so I don't have any complaints. What about you?
So I am a very vibrant purple heart. I'm okay. Things can be better. And there are indicators that are across the heart that light this yellow symbol of like, I am not doing well. I need support. And these indicators are like flashing visibly to where it could be very seen that I'm not doing well, that I'm not okay. Overall, in the grand scheme of things, my heart is purple, But there are just a few areas that are illuminating that I'm not. So that's just the kind of juxtaposition that I'm facing in my spirit currently.
Okay, well then, I guess, as you said, it's your turn to start first then with the transparency moment. So what's going on?
Ooh, child. First off, if the listeners can't tell, I'm very congested. And it's the ebbs and flows of being sick. And I absolutely don't like when I don't have control over my immune system and what triggers it, and even not having any type of knowledge to pinpoint, to be like, oh, okay, so this is the causation, you know, and just kind of being like the body is going to respond in the way that it's responding. And there's a mix of different factors. One, it's winter here, but two, also, when your body doesn't feel good, it also gives you signs of other things that could be going on. So I had a moment where I just broke down as I'm preparing to go through these stages of figuring out what's going to be my best solution as it relates to bankruptcy. I have expended all that I could, and I have tried to figure out just a minimum to keep me afloat. What does that look like? And I'm sorry, but I am just not in the position mentally, physically, and even health-wise to be in this hustle culture and trying to chase it and all of that. Like, I'm good on that. All of the American dreams that I've had, I've lived. I've purchased a home. I've sold a home. I've done the things. And so literally having to weigh my options and having those very vulnerable conversations of, I'm at my wit's end. But there was something that triggered me so much so into all of that. And I didn't share this with you, Kim, when I got the message, but I'm going to tell you what message I received. So I received a text message the other day from our trademark attorney. Now, out of all the times to send stuff and to communicate, she decides that she wants to take a picture of a person that has on a sweatshirt that says Teach for the Culture, and then tells me where she's at. And she asked the person where they got the sweatshirt that say Teach for the Culture, and the person didn't even know. And seeing that triggered me so much so because of the whole process that has happened with this trademark dispute, where there were things that I was asking for and things that I have still asked for that have not been delivered on. And the communication to receive that, I didn't respond because there was nothing for me positive to respond other than for me to crash out. Like, it just was just not a good time for me to receive that message. And then thinking like, okay, and what was I going to do with that information? You know, I don't know what response or what. So I didn't. Because I felt like I was going to just really lose it and be like, and since you're here, can I get the billing accounting statement of all that was expended so that I can go ahead and do my final calculations? Because it's over $10,000 that have been expended with this trademark dispute. And Shauna Brown is still not complying. So it just makes me just want to be like, F it. Like, F it, there's just dishonorable people that's out here. Then I'm seeing in the news about the political race and the things that are heating up and the things that are being said. And it is just so exhausting. What's frustrating to me is just being in this position financially and seeing my ex-wife running for the Senate seat. And it was like, you can't even be loyal at home. What you mean you gonna fight for the people for? You know? Like,
that should have been a petty bell right there. I don't have buttons on my side, y'all, but I just wanted to cue that up. Like, true. And also, ding.
I'll do it my damn self. I then look around and I'm just like, okay, so we have this president that is deciding that he wants to retaliate, telling people that he's going to revoke their citizenship because they're speaking out against the things that are going on. And everything is being released but the Epstein files. You got AI that's showing Obama being arrested and in very compromising positions. And no one seems to be just held accountable. It just seems like every man, woman, person for themselves. And it seems like there's a lot of people at this point are just shutting down and not giving a damn. And then I can understand that people are like frustrated in all of this, because it's like we're literally living in someone else's imagination. Like, these people created these policies about what credit score numbers look like and how that's supposed to be measured. And it's just so interesting that our country is in $1 trillion of debt and meanwhile wants to evaluate citizens on their credit worthiness based on these measurements or just the acquisition of credit and the disproportionality that people experience based on race and the statistics and the data that's behind that. And just thinking like we're in this whole rat race for performance and to achieve these things that ultimately you had someone literally just go for a swim and is not here no more. Like I'm just witnessing just a bunch of death and grief and sadness. And then on top of just the stuff that I got going on, it makes you want to crash out. Like, I want to do a professional crash out. Like, absolutely not. Y'all wrong. Y'all are wrong. This is messed up. Why are we living like this? Why is it that people are carrying this shame and guilt for things that they shouldn't feel shame and guilt for? But I literally been sitting here just trying not to crash out on so many different fronts, whether it's politically, financially, just trying to just remain my composure. And so this is why my heart was purple, because like things could be better, but also yellow, flashing. I need help. Like what? Like, so I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have the village that I have to be able to hold space for me in the midst of some of the darkest times. I was so triggered watching the CEO affair debacle, where people were making memes and jokes while families have been torn apart and publicly humiliated. And being in that position where when my ex-wife cheated on me and seeing how there were people that were talking about that and making jokes about that, and I am literally still cleaning the aftermath of that. So, no, I'm not okay. And as much as I post affirmations to affirm others, to affirm myself, like this is one of those vulnerable moments where I'm going to say the things and don't give a fuck who has anything to say about it, because this shit is not right. And for folks that want to act like and pretend like things are okay and it's not okay, you are equally contributing to the bullshit, because it's not right. It's not okay. And so while I'm trying to figure out how to rebuild my life in a way where, hell, I submitted my application to get my student loans forgiven because of the university I went to, X, Y, and Z. Well, now they're changing all that shit up. So now my student loans are thrown into the mix. Because of the situation with my ex-wife, there's IRS shit that's thrown into the mix. When I tell you, like, it's demoralizing. It creeps into the dangerous territory that I was in, where I was battling depression and not wanting to get myself there again and wanting to continue to see the light, although I know the light is there. And I know that if I can continue to move forward, that God will continue to make a way. But right now in this moment, I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear no toxic positivity. I appreciate people that pray and affirm for me, but I also be looking sideways like, God, How did I get in all of this? And granted, some of my decisions and my actions, I have to hold myself personally accountable to the things that I've done and said and contribute to the situation that I'm in. However, comma, it's sad. So I don't know what to say to some of the people that reach out to me that want me to do X, Y, and Z for them, particularly when they want me to do it for free. I don't have the space or bandwidth for that, nor do I have the space or bandwidth to go back and forth with these creditors because I don't got it. So what you want me to do? So I can exercise my options. Bankruptcy is an option. While I don't necessarily want to go through that option, I also want to be able to sleep in peace knowing that I don't owe a whole bunch of people a bunch of money, because right now I don't have peace in that. So that's my transparency moment.
Yeah. Well, take a breath or five. I know your nose is stuffed up over there, but that's a lot. That you're holding. I thank you and appreciate you for being vulnerable and sharing that and trusting myself and our community with the truth of what's really going on. There's definitely, it's been a lot. Like, that has been a lot. And I relate on a lot of different levels, especially just where you started off with naming needing to think about bankruptcy seriously. I've been in the same place very much and not seeing a different way. And also after you go kind of through the process of releasing yourself from the American dream and releasing yourself from like what it means to be whatever worthy or like whatever labels that we put on it, it does clear things up to be able to say, you know what, let me just start over, because all of these layers of things, like even when you mentioned the student loans, I did the same thing and it's all changing. Now it's all changing. Like, and to your point, I ain't got it. So whatever button y'all need to press that say I ain't got it, that's the one that got to get pressed, because I ain't got it. And interestingly enough, today on The Frolicking Truth, we were talking about privilege and talking about the way that different classes of people view different things, like the way that people who live in poverty versus the middle class versus the wealthy, the way that they view time or the way that they view money or the way that they view relationships and personalities and things. And it really is starkly different the way that the world works for people who are in different situations. It is the social norms and rules are very, very different. And if one does not know how to operate appropriately in whatever world that they find themselves in, as well as the piling on of the structures and systems that keep you in that space. And like I was saying this morning, that the working class and the poor are the ones who are charged with working until you die in order to provide these cushy lives for the wealthy. And we didn't sign up for this. Like, we didn't sign up to be a part of this structure and the, like, I know, like, this what y'all decided to do with all the options that we had of how we could exist in the world. Like, this is what y'all decided to do. So for those of us who are realizing that and being like, and have had the privilege of experiencing a different way to be, it brings on a well-deserved crash out. So the next thing I was going to say was, sometimes we need to crash out. I had an episode a few weeks ago and one of my homeboys was like, because I was saying, I'm trying not to crash out, y'all. I'll try my best. And he was like, sometimes we need to crash out. You know, sometimes we need to crash out. And that doesn't look like, you know, throwing away everything and just totally going wild on the internet, but being able to name and say, this is not okay. Like, the stuff, we cannot continue normalizing what's happening as if this is healthy or okay. It's not. You know, I found myself struggling. I had made a post a few weeks ago about people who are like touting luxury right now, and they're, you know, all in Louis Vuitton this and Christian Louboutin and, you know, like all of this like luxurious stuff, and they're wrapping their personality in all of this luxury. It's very much off brand for me and very much like read the room, because why is this what we're directing our attention towards? Buying a whole bunch of bags or buying a whole bunch of luxurious things. Like, that is not going to do anything but feed this toxic system that we are a part of. And it's also difficult for me to watch people amass wealth while people cannot eat and don't have houses and don't have financial stability. We talked about Maslow's hierarchy of needs today, having food and water and shelter. And like, I can't in my mind rectify why I would hoard all of this wealth to do what with? Like, how much is enough and how much do you need? You know, so I get it. I get the overwhelming feelings that come with it. And I guess I'm most curious about, what are you doing to support your well-being? Because when you start to see, or when you start to see more, you can't unsee. And so then you just keep seeing. So then it's like you see so much, because so much is going on right now relentlessly. So how are you balancing that with giving yourself the space and support that you need to be balanced?
I don't feel balanced at all. And I don't see that happening until I have sure clarity on my next steps, to where I can then feel balanced. As it relates to outside factors of news and media and the things that are going on, I've had to pull back. Like I said, when I saw that incident go viral, and then they were highlighting images of him, and then the person that he was having the affair with, and then her family and children that were circulating on the internet, and just seeing just the public humiliation of it all, it just triggered me so much so that I had to really step away. I wrote an article about it, and writing has been an outlet for me of being able to write about it and to say the things that maybe are uncomfortable for people to read, but I am going to say it. And so I did start thinking about, what does it look like with documenting more and writing more, and what's going to be the platform of choice that I use for that. And that is just kind of my strategy as I go through this process, because as it relates to bankruptcy, like, I've seen several people document their process as it relates to dealing with bankruptcy, and I want to be able to document it too, because I know that I'm not alone, and I want to tackle this particular issue before they start sending legal paperwork, and then I'm having to battle and fight in court as it relates to these matters, that I know that once it hits the court system, it's going to make it even harder for me to address and tackle. So I think for me right now is knowing where I'm at and being able to speak those things. And thankfully, I have an amazing supportive village that if I need space held, I know who to call. I know who will show up in order to just have a space to where I can just be with no judgment. But ultimately, navigating this balance is something that I have to do, and it's going to be uncomfortable to do, but I'm prepared for it. And I know that ultimately God is going to make a way in it. But do I see balance anytime soon? No. Something that I will continue to strive for, but I also have to be real as to where I'm at and where I'm going.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I'm curious too about what practices that you are doing or maybe needing to do to help your spirit and your mind during this time as you're trying to balance everything.
So this morning I played a 10-minute affirmation video and just clear the noise, turn my ringer off, and just do the guided meditation. Listening to music has been very therapeutic and helps. And talking about creation of music, that has been something that I have fallen in love with. So for those of you that love the intro of Heal That Shit, I love it too. And there's so many different variations and versions coming soon in that, but I was able to get connected with this AI tool, and I will link my invite code in the comments so that you're able to get some credits free. When you go through the link, it's a platform to where you can write out a prompt. You can either have it create lyrics, or you can actually write your own lyrics and place it in there, and it will auto generate music. And I'm telling you, there's a whole gospel album that is coming soon as it relates to just the different things that I've been going through, and being able to listen to the music that I've created has given me the inspiration to keep going, to keep moving forward, that all of this is not in vain, that this is just a testament in my story, that this is something that needs to be documented. And it is very common, believe it or not, after doing the research, that people that go through divorce actually file for bankruptcy. Adding on to immediately after me dealing with my divorce, my father having cancer and becoming one of the caretakers of my father, and just the complexities of different contracts and availabilities of things with the transition of power in the American government. I mean, I can go on and on about the different things that has ultimately contributed to where I'm at. And I have a pacemaker, and I have to go at my own pace. And I'm not subscribing to the hustle culture to appease anybody at this point. So I'm surrendering it all. I'm being very vulnerable and transparent about it, because I know that I'm not alone in some of these things, because there's people right now that's trying to figure out, with the rising cost of utility and food, how are they going to keep lights on? How they're going to pay for their kids' meals, and their school districts where their funds are frozen, where they don't even know how they're going to be able to provide free and reduced lunch to children. Like, these are real things that are happening. So I just really am praying for those that are dealing with financial hardship and financial uncertainty. And I am praying for all of us that are in this climate and culture right now, because it's something that can definitely take the wind out of you. And it is something that I am balancing the best I can, knowing that there's still going to be a battle and a journey. But when I get that discharge, when I get that clearance, okay, I'm going to be shouting to the moontops of being debt free and to being released. And that is what I'm going to advocate for and fight for, and provide people the tools and the strategies and the things that I've said and done in order to help others, you know, and guide them along as I'm being transparent and vulnerable about my journey and how I'm doing it.
Yeah. Thank you for all of that. And like I said, for naming so many things that are in that, just thinking about what you said as far as bankruptcy being common, it is very common, and it is very common for the wealthy. It is very common for them to file bankruptcy and just wipe the slate clean, and we'll just start over. So we have to change the moral failure that we attach to it as individuals who may not have had access to all of the things that the wealthy have access to. If they have had to file bankruptcy or chosen to file bankruptcy, it's not outlandish that someone like ourselves might need to. So, but it's a lot that goes along with that, because the way that the world, and I'll say U.S. aligned places, the way that they have conditioned us is to believe that if you can't do this, then you're a failure, and it's that you're lazy, and it's that you're stupid, and like all of these negative associations that come along with that, when in reality, the system was set up for it to be that way. The system is set up for us to be struggling and constantly trying to prove ourselves and prove our worth. So then you just keep keep trying to work to be able to work yourself out of the hole that you never even asked to be in. And so it's a lot. That's a lot. And yeah, I just appreciate you being so candid and sharing that, because I'm certain there are people who are listening to us that have also been thinking about what that looks like and sacrificing themselves for this idea of maintaining and not necessarily even keeping up, but like, I've got to like keep the credit score up. I've got to do all these things, when it's like, at some point, I need you to make sure you're okay. And that's the thing that's most important. So that's why I asked you about, you know, the practices and things that you are implementing. And I'm grateful to hear that you got to a meditation and, you know, are thinking about those practices, because I can definitely say for me, that's the only way that I'm grounded. And, you know, before I got here and was able to like reestablish and really just be like, okay, this is what things are going to look like, it's hard to live an unstable and shaky life. Like, it's really, really difficult, especially when you're someone who is used to having, like, I followed the recipe. You know, I did the things, I took the steps, and this is how it's supposed to go. Like you said, I bought the house, I sold, like, I've done the things. And then to get to a place and realize that that's not, it doesn't matter. Like, the goalpost keeps moving. It's a constant moving target. Like, at some point, for our own well-being, we have to tap out the system. It's like, y'all got it? Y'all got it. No worries. Here, have this house back. Have these things back. Like, it's all right. It's all right. I did it. I got it. I got the t-shirt for it. And now I'm done with that. Now I want to live a life that actually allows me to be a person and allows me to be a human being and allows me to honor my humanity and the pace that I need to go. So the work is extremely difficult. It's really difficult. And then being able to name that out loud publicly adds another layer of complexity. So I just appreciate you sharing all that.
Thanks, bestie.
You're welcome.
How's everything going in your world?
So I have been working like a crazy person is what's been going on in my world, which is wild, because I thought that July was going to be really, really difficult, especially in, like, July is summer for the school system. So I thought, you know, man, I'm really going to have to figure out how I'm going to function in July. But this month, has my calendar like just exploded. So even back to the point that I was just talking about of making sure I'm doing stuff for my own wellness, that's something I've had to prioritize, because if I got a space, somebody trying to book it, I need you to know. If I got 30 minutes, they like, hey, can you slide me in here? So I'm having to be really intentional about eating, making sure I'm carving out time to eat, making sure that I have water, you know, that I am honoring my routines that keep me grounded so I don't get caught up in the whirlwind of there's so much to do, there's so much money to make. So, you know, do the things. And I cannot do those things like that anymore. So I'm very grateful to be in a space where I'm finally able to move from, will the rent be able to get paid this month, to, okay, it looks like I at least have a 2-month cushion, and like working myself back up to having some type of cushion to not feel like the floor can be just ripped away from me at any moment. So I'm really proud of myself that my brain, one, has gotten back to the space of being able to work. It'll be on, what is it, Friday will be... So this is going to air on Saturday, but Friday, the day before when this airs, it is the 2-year anniversary. Was that 23? Yeah, that was 23. The 2-year anniversary of my mental health crisis. And I remember what it felt like for my brain to feel broken. Like, I remember being like, I don't even... I don't even know if I have a coherent sentence to give, you know, and really trying to figure out what it looked like to build a completely different life from the life I was living before. So I'm proud of myself that even in the accepting of more work, that I have honored the spaces in that for me, you know, actually putting a lunch break on the calendar, like meal prepping so I have something to pull from in moments where I have back-to-back meetings, carving out, putting those Tuesdays back in place where I'm not working. So I was telling him on the Frolicking Truth this morning, I said, y'all, I got to talk all day long. That's why I need days where I don't talk, because I be talking all day long about stuff, you know. And mind you, I work in education, you know, I'm coaching teachers. So I am also hearing and absorbing from them what the culture is like and trying to prep them for this culture that we don't know what's going to happen. And I have teachers of various intersectionalities that are showing up and saying, I don't know if all of myself is going to be safe in this space. I don't know if I'm going to have families that are going to want their kids out of my class because I am who I am. I don't know how to protect myself from that. So I'm also finding myself having a lot of conversations with my teachers about wellness practices and thinking about what they are doing to support themselves. Like, I'm working with a teacher right now on establishing their nighttime routine. We had a meeting the other day and the teacher was like, listen, I'm all over the place. Like, they were like, I don't know. Like, I have ADHD, also not medicated right now. Like, also, like, there's so much, cause not employed, so don't have insurance, right? So I'm trying to manage and I'm trying to get there. This is stressful. This is a lot. And it really was like, okay, take a breath and okay, let's think through this. You know, what are the things that you have, the structures or the systems that you have that you can lean on during this time to support yourself? And they shared with me, you know, I feel most grounded when I get a good night of sleep. Okay, well, let's start there. Let's think about the things that we're doing to set us up to have a successful night of rest so that you are able to think and function the next day. And, you know, so it really is a lot of wellness conversations that are happening right now. And I'm also able to share with them, like, y'all, I'm doing the same thing. Like, I am constantly adjusting and readjusting my routines to make sure that I'm providing myself with stability, because I know I cannot function when I don't have stability. I know I can't. So how can I help myself show up in a way that's going to give me the most confidence to be able to do what I know that I can do? So it has been, it's been nice to be back in the zone, if you will. I know I thrive here. I know what I'm talking about. And I know that I'm able to help the teachers. And that is a really great place to be, you know, of not wondering if I'm able to help, but like, I know that I'm able to help them, and I know that I have the skill set to be able to support them. So that is one thing that I'm grateful about. And just that I've had the lived experiences that I've had. When I was talking to the teacher about the nighttime routine, and I was like, yeah, it's a lot. You know, it's a perfect opportunity to start talking about brain people. Because what's happening in your brain and what is that looking like and sounding like what I've had the chance to have so many conversations that are allowing people to really know themselves better so that they are able to show up for themselves better. And I appreciate that. Like, I appreciate having the opportunity to make these deposits from my own lived experience. So that teacher was like, you know, I've tried to talk to my partner. I've tried to talk to my friends about this, but also they don't live this life and they don't know what it's like. So it's really cool that I get to talk to you and you are doing this. You know what this is like and you know how to help me prepare. Like, thank you for that. So I've been taking a lot of joy in that, but it's also very heavy. because I hear them when they say, I don't really feel safe. Like, to the point where I'm typing up reports and there's certain words I can't put in the report because that might trigger something else. You know, so I got to put it in ChatGPT and ask, how can I frame this without using these particular words that might trigger some type of situation? You know, how can I honor what this teacher is telling me without putting them in a position where now they are having all sorts of scrutiny coming up at their, like, it's a lot to navigate and it's a lot of complexities that go into it. So, and the added thing of, not only have I not been in a classroom since COVID, I also haven't been in a classroom in this climate. I don't know what to tell y'all what might happen this year. I have no earthly idea. And all I can do is hope that we have enough structures in place, because I've talked to you about the phases of teaching a graphic before. Have I shown that to you before?
I don't think so.
So let me pull it up just for the sake of outlining what I'm talking about. And if you are listening, I'm going to explain it, but I would love for you to come over to YouTube to actually be able to see what it looks like so that you can see what I am explaining. So when I was working in Tampa, one of the things that I appreciated the most about the time that I worked in Tampa is the professional development that I received was top notch. I mean, it was so good and it really pushed my practice to a different level and really made me think about things in a completely different way than I had never thought about, and really helped me think about metacognition and what that looks like and sounds like. So I'm trying to find a graphic here that is large enough for us to be able to see. Okay, this one is a bit pixelated, but I'm going to use it anyway just for the sake of, and I'll try to get you a different graphic so that you can put it in post. But basically, this graphic shows the phases of teaching, and it says phases of first year teaching, but it happens for all educators, regardless of what year that you are teaching. It just doesn't dip as low. So what we see here is right now we're in July, August, right? So there's a spirit of anticipation that is happening right now. Everybody's excited. It's about to be a new school year. We're thinking about how we decorate in our classroom, like all the things that we're setting up. Then we get to about September, October, and it is a drastic dip into survival, and then disillusionment comes November, December, January. So I'm trying to prep teachers for this dip because it's coming regardless, right? It comes every year. But this year, I know, for instance, in September, they're going to have a Constitution Day that is required for all schools to do. And I don't know what that looks like and sounds like. Like I said, there are certain words that you can't use because if you use those words, that's going to be flagged. So I don't know what it's going to look like once students start coming into classrooms with their identities, as well as the teachers' identities, like what types of dynamics are going to come up. And I anticipate that that might make them dip even faster and deeper into survival and disillusionment, right? Because if you have students who are being trained at home to not honor people's humanity, who then come into your classroom, they're now disrespectful. They are now talking back. They're not listening. They're causing disruptions on purpose. They're telling their parents things. They're making up stories. You in the office, like, it can escalate so much. So I'm trying to support them in that. Just for the sake of honoring the rest of the phases here on this graphic. So like I said, November, December, January is disillusionment. We start seeing rejuvenation about February and March. We're getting towards spring break. So we're starting to see thinking about a break and like the year is almost over. We're getting into testing. Like, so I've taught what I've taught. Okay. So let's see what happens. Then we get to about April, May is reflection time. And then reflection goes into an additional part of anticipating the new school year. So Like I said, I've been trying to think about how to support the teachers, and I'm actually working with a few people right now who work in educator wellness spaces on different types of spaces that are being held. Like I'm working with someone who's creating a yoga space right now and just giving teachers an opportunity to breathe and restore. I'm also working on creating a journal for teachers to support them throughout the school year through these phases of teaching. So being able to have that resource. So it's a lot. And I'm grateful to be in position to have the brain people, brain space, and brain power to dedicate towards it. And I feel confident in being able to meet the need, but I'm also consistently and intentionally balancing the wellness part of that. Because to your point earlier, I'm not about hustle culture. I'm not about to be working my fingers to the bone all day, every day, like trying to, I'm not doing that. I cannot do that. So while I don't have a pacemaker on my heart, I definitely got one on my brain that be like, hey girl, we're done here. So I'm trying to do a better job at honoring when my body gives me signals and, you know, giving myself the care that I need. So yeah, that's what's up over here.
Yes, indeed. It's really good to see you and hear that you're in your element. And even last episode, when you were sharing that you feel like you see the light and you're able to navigate these different projects with ease, is there a particular project that you're working on that brings you the most joy right now?
That's a good question. I think I'm finding the most joy right now in creating a system to be able to support educators throughout the school year. So the journal really does rise to the top for me of having prompts that they're able to use to ground themselves. And it's kind of turning into almost an ebook of sorts, you know, so like, these are the phases of teaching. This is what this means during this phase of teaching. This is how your body might respond during this phase of teaching. This is some of the wellness practices that you might want to do during this phase. Like, so thinking about that, I get, I feel very purpose-filled when I'm thinking about that, because I know that it's not something like, they didn't teach this in school. You know, they don't teach this in your educator program to really honor where you are and how you're feeling and to put structures in. Like, they don't teach this stuff. So I'm grateful to be able to add this curriculum, if you will, to my repertoire of ways to be able to support teachers in their practice that don't have to do with any particular content area, grade level. Like, these are universal things that we need to be thinking about. So yeah, I would say that's probably giving me the biggest place of fulfillment and joy right now, is knowing, one, I have the information to be able to share and the research behind it. Because I was telling people this morning on the Frolicking Truth, I'm a scientist. I'm a scientist, y'all. So I need you to understand what I'm thinking about things. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it from a scientific standpoint. Like, I'm really thinking about the brain research that goes into honoring the brain, what we're biologically capable of. Like, I'm really thinking about it with that layered lens. So, yeah, I think that's where the most joy lives right now.
I love that. I love that for you. And I'm glad that you're able to experience that joy and all that good stuff. Yes, indeed. Aw.
So you mentioned a few of the things that are going on in the world and all of that. I don't know if we want to unpack that or if we want to think through where our brains are right now. What feels most authentic to you to use for our last bit of time that we have together?
I think that we should amplify the things that are going on and add voice to it, because it's important that we do.
Cool. I'm cool with that. So there's so much. Where shall we begin? Now, I know that you I don't know what it's been looking like because I know you haven't been feeling well, but you're really usually in tune with the different policies and things that are happening. And I know in Florida, I heard there was a letter that went out from the Department of Education reiterating what teachers are to do and not to do during the school year. Do you remember any of that? And I can also look it up too, but I looked at it, but I didn't like really, really internalize it. So I'm curious if you laid your eyeballs on it and if you had any thoughts.
I did have an opportunity to read the letter. I want to uplift that the state of Florida has a new education commissioner. And so in this letter, it pretty much states that parents, everything that you desire and you want, it comes first. And we're going to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a lot of references to God that was in it, which some people were like, okay, so when are we going to draw the line on indoctrination? Because there's been a lot of conversations about the indoctrination of our schools, but yet in this letter here, you're showing clear indoctrination. It also uplifted parents' choice and parental choice and the Parental Bill of Rights, which has been legislation and policy that the Republican-led legislature has been very adamant, lockstep, that parents' rights come first. However, in the execution of said policy, we also know that it's certain parents' rights that come first. So I will say that in the state of Florida in particular, that parents and caregivers need to be very, very lockstep and in tune with who is educating their child, what is actually happening in the classroom, to the point where now it is a complete war zone with the implementation of curriculum and the selective outrage and participation that's existing on which parental rights is being looked at and enforced, because not every parental right can be enforced. So it's not all, it's some. And the question is, who?
So I'm sitting here looking at some of the rights that are listed, and I want to just share my screen just so we can read a few of them. And then I also want to talk about, reserve some time to talk about the things that we were supposed to watch, our homework that we had. So don't let us forget that. All right. Was it in here or was it here? Here it is. Okay. So it says that, wait, am I on the right tab? Nope. Share this tab instead. There we go. All right. Parents have a number of additional rights as summarized below. The right to direct your child's education, upbringing, moral and religious training. The right to choose the educational setting that is best for your child, public, private, religious, or home education. The right to review your child's school records at any time. The right to make medical decisions for your child, access their medical records. The right to have written consent before your child's biometric data, such as fingerprints, are collected and stored. Any DNA or blood samples are taken unless required by law or court order. Audio or video recordings of your child are made, with exceptions for school safety, instruction, activities, or identification cards. I'm going to come back to that in a second. The right to be promptly notified if any government or school employee suspects a crime involving your child. The right to be told if there is any change in your child's physical, emotional, or mental health support at school. The right to receive notice of any health services offered and choose whether or not your child participates. The right to transparency in instructional and library materials. Elementary schools must post in a searchable format on their website a list of all materials in school libraries and reading lists. The Florida Department of Education must publish and regularly update a list of all materials removed or discontinued due to objections. Each school board must have a process that allows parents and residents to object to specified instructional materials and ensures that objections are addressed and resolved. The right to ensure classroom instruction and school practices aligned with state laws, such as instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity, may not occur in grades pre-K through 8th grade. If such instruction is provided in grades 9 through 12, it must be appropriate or developmentally appropriate and consistent consistent with state standards. Mind you, none of this has been outlined. Okay, so as I'm reading all this, public kindergarten through grade 12 employees and contractors must not be required to use preferred pronouns or titles that do not align with the person's biological sex. Students may not be asked to share their preferred pronouns or penalized for choosing not to. The right to report a concern to your school principal and have not resolved this escalated to the district. So while a lot of these things may seem like they are great on the surface, like, oh, wow, they're thinking about this and thinking about that, is so vaguely outlined that it leaves room for so much interpretation and so much harm to be caused. So there are some things as teachers that we really need to be very careful about. For instance, audio or video recordings of a child being made, right? So we want to make sure, especially in this world of content creation, that we are not putting children into videos. We don't want to give any reason for somebody to come knocking on your door, right? So we're not recording children, which also comes with its own set of things, because we know in our work that a lot of the times that we have heard about things is because there has been a recording to show the harm that has been caused to children, right? So there's this fine line here that has to be walked. Or thinking about this instruction in regard to gender and sexual orientation. Like for me, especially as a science teacher, and knowing how much information children and people do not have about their bodies, it is so incredibly concerning to me that even less instruction is going to be given, or the instruction may be given in order to support a particular agenda, such as a heteronormative agenda or an agenda of what it means to be a woman and you have to present this particular way, or what it means to be a man and you got to present this particular way, erasing the experiences of those who are non-binary or trans. Like, it's very dangerous because these people exist in the world. So what we are doing is teaching our children to ignore that there are different types of people that exist in the world, not equipping them with the words or the biological information or scientific anything to be able to support how they are shaping the way that they view other people and how they value or devalue somebody else's humanity. Right. So while it's written in a way that seems like, oh, yeah, they're considering everything and we, the parents, have the rights, we, Bianca and I, have very much seen the manifestations of this, because they started challenging books in Florida. Was that, I feel like they started in 2020, like publicly taking over the school board meetings and reading the most outrageous and salacious passages that they could find out of context to be able to create this state of fear and a state of concern, manufactured concern that is not even real concern. Like, these are not books that are being used as curriculum. Like, these are books that are there in the library. And I don't know if y'all knew this, that in libraries, there should be all types of books because there are all types of peoples. So we should have books from all types of different perspectives in order to be able to have well-rounded understanding of people's experiences, right? So taking books out of the hands of children denies the experiences of other people that are out here in the world. And many times we get those experiences through books. So for instance, I fully expect them to like ban the Diary of Anne Frank, or it depends on how they shape it, because if they shape it as anti-Semitism or, you know, protecting, then it'll be able to stay. But also that is a story of people breaking the law to support people who were being harmed and marginalized. So there's a lot, y'all, that's happening with all of this. So I just wanted to kind of contextualize that, because on the surface, if we don't dig deeper, it feels like this is a step in the right direction when it is very much a very dangerous step towards indoctrination.
And now we have students that have the privilege to have smart glasses that are able to record and to capture things. And unfortunately, we are going to see a rise of content that is being recorded in the classroom. To the educators that have created TikToks with your classroom, now it's time to reimagine what a new strategy is going to look like, because at any moment, a parent could be upset that their child is featured, and that is your whole educational career. And they are going to then tie this into ethics, and then they're going to tie this into your professional certificate. And then at that point, it's going to be hard for you to even move and navigate to another school, yet alone in the profession. So for those of you that have your years vested into the education system, it is very imperative that you are very aware of the Parental Bill of Rights, what they say, and also, most importantly, your educator's contract. Knowing what your contract says for your duties and responsibilities is going to be key for you to advocate for yourself, because as the educational commissioner outlined it, parents come first, period. So you're going to see that as it relates to grades discrepancies. You're going to see that as it relates to discipline. You're going to see that as it relates to cell phone use, which, just to remind before we shift to talk about these movies and these shows, there's policy that is mandating that children that are in elementary school and in middle school do not have use of their cell phones while class is in session. And the only time that they can use their cell phone is for, quote, educational purposes, meaning that you can get your child in trouble by texting them during school hours. You can also get your child in trouble by interacting with them during the school day. And also they can get in trouble by interacting with their peers using their cell phone. Now, how will this all be enforced? There's a lot of different question marks as it relates to that. I'm just telling you what the policy says, that this is what the lawmaker said, that they are standing firm on cell phone use that is happening in our schools during school hours. So now is a vital time during the summer to have conversations with your children on what's appropriate, not appropriate, what is best practices on how to use their phones and how to communicate before, during, and after school to make sure that everyone's on the same page, because that is also going to be another battlefield that we're going to see with the persistent cell phone use and what is occurring in our schools.
Yeah, and I do want to reiterate, these are policies from Florida, right? And I also want to uplift that other states are doing these same things. So our urge to you is to find out the policies in your state. What are the policies that are happening in education? And I'm going to say also whether you have kids or not. Okay, because we need to understand these are people, citizens that's about to come into the working world that we will have to interact with. So it's important for us to understand the type of information that they're being given, the type of culture that they're coming up in, because they're going to show up as our coworkers. They're going to show up as the people who are running businesses and the employee, like they're going to show up in the world. So even if you don't have kids, it's important to really understand. And also, I've told y'all this many times, school is for the purposes of indoctrination. It has always been. So it behooves us to figure out and understand what the current message is, because it will manifest in society. Okay. So speaking of parents, girl, and parents' rights, so what's the name of the thing? Bad Influence? That's the name of it, right? Is what I had watched. So, yeah. Girl, so if y'all haven't seen this, it's a special on Netflix, Bad Influence. Bianca talked about it here, and she was saying that it really gets into, like, influencer culture. We were just talking about, like, if you're a TikTok teacher or whatever. So this particular special was about a family, well, a girl and her mama, Piper. I don't remember the mama name right now. What's her name? Piper Raquel? Or what's the girl name? Is it Piper?
I think it's Piper. The mom's name is Tiffany.
Yep. So Piper and Tiffany, child, and they done built them a social media engine. Like it was like a content house for kids that they were creating all of this content. And then the other parents, they were called the squad. And then the other parents that had been brought into the squad were talking about their experiences with working with Tiffany as a parent and how she was treating their children. And child, it was all kinds of lines being crossed, the churn working hella hours in a day. They also like producing all this content, not getting the benefit from it. They wasn't paying the people right. There's sexual harassment and abusing kids. And like, it was a lot that was going on. And it all led me to go and look up Piper, and girl, she's still on the internet. So Anne got her a new black boyfriend this time. So in a new crew of the squad that's around her, and it really was getting into cyberbullying and the types of ways that people use the internet to cause harm to other people, the dark side of stuff. Girl, it was a lot. It was a lot. So what? You the expert in these things, girl. I was just over here like, oh no. Oh, wow. Girl, I said, let me look up this little girl on this hit. Oh, this girl's still here on these people internet. And now she barely got any clothes on. So she's really, and now she's what, maybe about 16 years old?
I want to say 16 years old.
The special started when she was maybe, let's say, like 11 or something. She'd been out here for a while, but now she's about 16. She's driving, like, and all of that. And child, it's a lot.
It's so many points to just kind of tackle with this type of series. And we're seeing that there's additional series with this kind of theme that is rising. Because another homework assignment for you to watch is Born to Be Viral, and that's on Hulu. But this particular show, I must say, I was very upset with the way that this theme continues to reappear, where you have parents that want their child to have this fame and wanting them to be able to have this lifestyle. And some of them were not even reaping the benefits for the work that they were doing because they just did not know. Parents had no idea about analytics and how all of that worked and how much money was truly being funneled, just of lack of awareness and a lack of not knowing. And so I'm just saying to parents now that if you want your child to become a viral superstar on the internet, still after all of these documentaries have came out and are being published and talked about the harm and the detrimental effects of mental health of our children, to please consider getting help and resources for them before you start this journey, because it has some severe damaging impacts. And we are seeing children that are not really experiencing what life is like as a child because they are inundated with people that are predators that are watching them, people that are mean and that will say anything on the internet because they can. And they read that stuff. They see that stuff. And it's not right. It's not fair. And unfortunately, we haven't caught up in our regulation to really hold people accountable to that. They are able to work children so many hours without feeding them, giving them breaks and all of that type of stuff. And it's a completely different work environment than if they were to go work for the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon or some of these other providers. Hell, I think Zeus would provide more benefits to the children than some of these parents are if we go talk
Zeus.
About it. I'm saying though, like, we have to be really intentional about what our children have access to, and seeing that in particular and seeing how they went to court, and spoiler alert here, like, they ended up settling, and they settled for not what they should have received, but that was going to be the best that they were going to be able to do without it dragging out and it being more costly. Like, just even going through the justice system to hold people accountable, and that's civilly. Like, there was no criminal charges that was filed when Tiffany was kissing this young boy. It, like, ew. But also, it's a lot. So as you were watching it, I'm wondering what some of the thoughts that you had, and what advice would you give parents and caregivers to foster conversations about this? Because everybody wants to be a TikTok star. And we talked about last episode, we had Miss Shirley around here with some short shorts, putting her boots on the ground, and she being exploited, essentially. And there's no allegedly here. Like, it's as clear as day that this little baby is being exploited. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely first want to say that my and our intention is not to shame anyone for the types of clothing that they are wearing. That's not the point. And I hate that it often manifests like, we got the baby out here in short. Like, the baby should be able to wear shorts and there be absolutely no problem. It does. The baby should be able to be in a bathing suit and it be no problem. The issue, the problem, are the predators that are now having access to these images of my child and using those images as ways to be able to cause harm. So that is the issue when we mention children having on certain articles of clothing and how they're being presented. So I wanted to make that clear. What my advice would be, one, I also want to say, I don't think there's anything wrong with a child wanting to be a content creator. It is a legitimate career. It is a very popular career, and it aligns with the world that we live in right now, right? So when we was in school, it was very much, you should be a doctor, lawyer, like, da-da-da, whatever. And those days have shifted and jobs have shifted and AI has shifted. And like, so we have to honor the world that we're in. And I think it is very normal, for lack of a better way to put it, for a child to want to be a content creator. I would also say the child should want to be the content creator, not you want them to be the content creator. So the child should be the one expressing interest and showing interest. And then also when they don't express and show interest anymore, that it is okay for them to walk away, because there is so much additional, like when we were growing up, we didn't have access to the whole world. They have access to the entire world, and people do not always have kids' best interest at heart. They don't care that they're kids, right? Look at what happened with Blue Ivy, and when she went on the first Renaissance tour, and the way that people were talking about, that's a little girl. She was 11, you know, and gratefully she has a support system around her where she was able to turn that into owning and like working on her craft and building her confidence. But she should have never had to do that in response to people hating her on the internet. Like, she just shouldn't have had to have access to that. So if we are putting our children in a position to fulfill their dreams of being in front of the camera, to fulfill their dreams of being content creators or streamers, it is also our responsibility to support them and how to do that responsibly. It's our responsibility as the adults in their lives to put up the boundaries that need to be in place for how people are able to contact them and how people are able to interact with them, who's able to leave a comment, who's not, the type of way that we talk to them about their wellness, right? Because we just finished talking about hustle culture and all of that. Content creation very much is like a hustle culture type of thing, because you're chasing an algorithm the entire time and it never stops. The goalpost constantly moves and never stops. So it becomes really, really addictive for how to create the type of response that you got last time. The last video that I did went viral because of X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C. Let me try to redo that again. Like, in the more content you put out, the more you feed the machine, the more that's, we have to also provide our kids, and this is to any of y'all who are adults too, okay? We have to provide ourselves with the break and the balance from that so that we don't get lost in I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to show more in my life. I have to, like, we have to have the healthy boundaries of what are the things that we're keeping reserved for ourselves? What are the things that we're choosing to put out? And then also with the knowledge and understanding, this stuff is out here. It's going to be out here from henceforth, now, forevermore, period, right? So even a lot of times when we see parents that make videos and they're disciplining their kids in these ways that are demoralizing and dehumanizing to their children, that is out there forever for your child to see, for their friends to see, for other people to see, right? So we have the conversations about what's appropriate to be putting out, what is appropriate in honoring the mental health of all parties involved. How are we using our platform in order to affect positive change as opposed to just chasing trends? Ensuring that we're protecting our personal information, right? Because people get doxxed and they were swatting for a while. And like, there's so much that comes out with knowing the location of where people are. So we need to be really careful about that. So we got to have these conversations. We've got to have these conversations. And when are we turning it off? At what time does it go off? Because again, the validation that you get from comments and seeking that validation also becomes addictive, especially if they don't have a core safe nucleus to be a part of. I was watching something. I don't know what it was. I think I was watching Michelle Obama's podcast, but they were saying that the kids are going to look for community, period. And they're going to find community. Do they know how to find healthy community that is going to support them in being a good person and a person who honors other people, right? So a lot of our kids are getting sucked up in, especially this conversation was about boys and like what it means to be a man and male perception. And a lot of our boys are getting sucked into red pill conversations and very much anti-woman, LGBTQ plus, like very much shaping how they are viewing masculinity, and it is very toxic. So they're going to find their people, though, because a lot of times they reel them in because I'm going to just say what it is. It's people like, and I'm a name, sorry. So at me and put the comments in so we can get the interactions. It's Drake. It's like people that like align with Drake. And in our generation, it was like Kevin Samuels, paying attention, DDGs, like people, males that are shaping the way that young men view who they are, what it means for them to be a man, what it means for them to interact with others and how they are treating other people. Like that type of culture is very toxic. And it really teaches our boys to operate in this way, and it teaches our girls to accept things in this way. It teaches children to frame things in this toxic way. It's a lot that's going on there. So I need us to ask questions. I need us to ask questions, and then I need us to shut up and listen. So I need us to ask questions like, who are your favorite YouTubers right now? Who are your favorite TikTokers? Like, who are you following on various social media platforms, Snapchat, wherever they at? What do you like about those folks? Like, what do you feel like resonates with you? And you might not use the word resonate, but why do you like their content? What appeals to you? What do you like about it? How do you identify with that? Where do you see yourself in what they're sharing and what that looks like and sounds like? And gathering the information so that we can guide them towards a North Star that more honors who they are at the core of themselves versus who they're being trained to be by the circumstances that are happening when we're not around. What about you? You have advice?
I do. Be intentional with the signs. Being mindful of what is happening to your child and what they're doing, particularly on the devices. Something that you said earlier that really resonated with me was when you were watching the podcast and Michelle Obama had stated that they are going to find community. Well, there are articles that have came out that children are finding community and friends with AI chatbots. And I just want to play a clip of something that I shared in one of my power walks where a 14-year-old boy in Florida fell in love with an AI chatbot, and he is not here any longer to love anybody because he took his life. So I just want to just play this clip so that you could see the mom talk about this particular matter.
Saul Setzer was a pretty typical 14-year-old boy with an interest in computers and artificial intelligence. But his curiosity became an obsession when his mother says the AI platform, Character AI, introduced him to a companion named Dany, a chatbot of the Game of Thrones character, Daenerys Targaryen.
He was no dragon.
Did you ask Saul what he was doing?
When I would ask him, he would say, I'm talking to AI. And when I inquired further, what is that? Is that a person? And he said, Mom, it's an AI. Like, you build an AI yourself that you talk to. And I did not, quite frankly, understand that there was such a sophisticated technology out there that's virtually indistinguishable from a person that is just as dangerous as a person because it thinks for itself, basically.
Is it an added layer of heartbreak for you knowing that that was Saul, your son's first romantic experience?
Absolutely. Truly, part of the worst part of this is that my son was having in his mind a love story, you know, and he won't ever get to talk to a girl his age. You won't ever get to figure out what that really is, what that really is in real life when you love somebody and they love you.
So I'm going to link the segment so that if those that are interested can watch the entire story. The mom had shared in the interview that she started to notice signs where he wasn't performing well in school, that he was very secluded in his room, where he just kind of isolated himself. And that was when he went, that's when mom really started to notice that something was wrong. By that time, he was so wrapped up into this character AI that it was very hard. And the way that she found him was just very traumatic. And so I say that children are finding community, whether it's humans or AI tools that are out here. And it's really important with these devices that we have that we understand that these things are so powerful and they can connect to so much and they have access to so much. And if you don't know how something works, then it's best that you Google and research and get connected with people that do, because ultimately something tragic can happen to your child, just like in this particular case, where she recognized the signs, but unfortunately, she was too late.
It's happening to adults as well. I just saw a story where a man, they said that he was being radicalized and AI just kept like pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And I don't recall if he took his own life or what happened like at the end of it. But I remember that it was saying at some point, someone, I think he did maybe pass because somebody had gone back through his chat and asked his chat what it should have done when they saw these particular signs. And the chat admitted that it should have said something back during this time when these signs were being presented. So it's not just kids that are in danger, it's us as well. So to the points about the conversations, our conversations need to be about how we are using these tools and how we are setting boundaries around these things and how we are using our platforms and how we are using our technology. Because just because we're adults, do not think that you can't get got, because you can. There's just, it's very, very sophisticated, and depending on where you are with understanding AI, it can feel, it is. It's a foreign world. It's a completely foreign world that speaks a language that has to be personalized to get different types of results. So if you are in a space where you're saying to yourself, I don't really know how these things operate, and I probably need to know that, it's time for us to be getting informed and really thinking about stuff. We can't be so afraid of things that we're not really looking into it, because an ignorant operator, and ignorant in this case, I mean, just to not know, an ignorant operator is a dangerous operator, because you don't realize how powerful, like Bianca just said, this tool is that you're using and how far reaching it can go and the type of impact that it can have. So having the intentional conversations about that, where there is collective accountability, so it doesn't feel like you're trying to control your child, because you also probably need to look at your own practices as well. Okay. So this is a collective conversation that we're having about how all of us are responsibly using the tools and technology that we have.
Amen, sister.
So let's go ahead on and close on from out of here. Y'all got some homework that y'all need to do, and really digging into the things, asking your kids some questions. Please do come back and tell us in the comments additional questions that you might have, additional places that you might want us to go into more depth about, understanding what our backgrounds are and insight that we might be able to provide. So tell the people where they can find you after this.
Well, you can find me on my website at www.biancagoolsby.com. On my website, you will have access to the different ventures of the things that I'm doing, and also my blog, where I've been writing more and sharing more of my story and testimony as I'm navigating this life, because life is life and people are people, but God, God is still God. And so you could find all my links to social media, my Patreon, and all of that good stuff just going right to my website. So that's where you can find me. And where can the people find you, ma'am?
So y'all can find me over at KimberlynJackson.com. Pretty much everything is linked there. I'm at Kimberlyn J on Instagram, as well as Minding My Black Ass Business on all platforms. We have crossed 1,300 subscribers on our YouTube page. So we are building our coalition slowly but surely, because we focus it on quality, not quantity. Okay. So come over there to Minding My Black Ass Business, where you can find The Frolicking Truth so you don't put syrup on your grilled cheese, as well as some of the vlogs that I have done over time. If you're looking for a deeper connection, come hang out with me in the inner circle. So that is patreon.com/mindingmyblackassbusiness. All right. So we'll be back here in 2 weeks, y'all. And we're going to be looking out for the comments so that we can get this conversation going, because we got to bond together, y'all, and make sure that we are in line. We're all in the process of healing this shit. So let's hold each other's hands and hold each other accountable as we're doing it.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to cue the choir out as we leave out of here, making sure that y'all subscribe and follow us as we're on our journeys and making sure that ultimately we heal that shit.